Though substance abuse among young people in Anchorage and statewide is troublingly high, some officials see reasons for optimism. All this week, as part of our series, The Blind Spot, Alaska Public Media is exploring holes in the safety net for teens struggling with drugs and alcohol. And as KSKA's Zachariah Hughes reports, policy solutions are starting to address the problem.
Diane Casto started doing prevention work in Alaska in 1978 and now manages the Division of Behavioral Health. She's part of the state's effort to shift the paradigm on community health, developing new tools to measure what's working.
Just doing a walk around and looking at your community, what's the density of alcohol outlets in your community? What are the policies and procedures and practices in your community related to alcohol and drug issues?
Casto is pushing for a switch in focus, away from reactive intervention and towards prevention.
The more we work on the front end and prevent these issues from becoming catastrophic, the better we will be. We know that prevention and promotion services are much less expensive than getting into treatment, into residential care, and ongoing services.
This is a reap what you sow approach. It cost Casto's division about $9 per person to put on a promotional event, like a health fair. That is a bargain compared to the $50,000 per person it costs to provide long-term care to someone working through acute psychiatric care and recovery. That doesn't mean that every person who stopped by a health fair will just say no for their entire life, but on balance, Casto says, prevention is a sounder policy. The Alaska Wellness Coalition has a similar aim. The group is trying to prevent underage drinking by changing community-wide perceptions. The Center for Disease Control's most recent youth risk behavior survey says that 3/4 of youth reported not drinking in the past month. Coalition campaign coordinator Hope Finkelstein says they're using that data to help teens realize drinking is actually not the norm.
And so what this campaign intends to do is start the conversation. And even if people don't believe that 78% of the kids don't drink, that's fine. That is okay because people will start questioning.
Finkelstein says the coalition is finding youth around the state who want to talk about alcohol but haven't been able to. A similar campaign was launched in Homer a few years ago when data showed that people there didn't drink nearly as much as was commonly thought. After the data were released, people didn't believe it, but it got them talking about things. There's also an effort to get kids in trouble better. Or at the very least, to develop an improved system from the minor consuming alcohol charges. At the state level, Senate Bill 99 this session attempts to amend Title IV, the alcohol code. The legislation didn't get very far, but sponsors say its introduction sets the wheels in motion for reforms next session. Professor Marnie Rivera at UAA's Justice Center works on the issue and wants the MCA citation to be replaced with a ticket, like the kind you get for speeding or parking.
In working with these statutes over a couple of years and hearing from experts and hearing from prosecutors and hearing from people from DJJ, what we realized is that these MCAs are almost like a gap or this no man's land where DJJ doesn't deal with these youth until they've already come to the attention of the criminal justice system 3 times.
So this might seem kind of counterintuitive. Rivera wants to help at-risk kids by increasing the number of times they get in trouble. She argues that police and lawyers know what a long, drawn-out process it can be to see an MCA go through the courts. And they have hearts. They know an MCA makes your name ping in court view, which can jeopardize a young person's future. So kids get slapped on the wrist without an official citation ever being issued. And Rivera says this is exactly the kind of space where addictive behaviors have room to intensify.
These days, there's very few cases where you actually see a habitual status offender a third time minor consuming because these are actually difficult charges for police officers to deal with. Making this a ticketable offense, we hope, will make it easier for officers to write those tickets and will bring these kids to the attention of the justice system, hopefully in a way that we can screen some of them and determine if some of them already have problems with alcohol that need to be addressed through treatment.
But as many of the experts we spoke to said, there is no silver bullet. Even if the MCA system is improved, some kids will end up back where this series started, at the McLaughlin Youth Center. Ross Blocker stands inside one of the aging treatment cottages on the McLaughlin campus, his fingers interwoven like a nest. He's been in charge of McLaughlin's Transitional Services Unit for a decade, and he wants to make sure kids leave the youth center with the skills they need to make it in the chaotic world beyond the campus.
And you just can't, you know, do all that work and then pat them on the back, put them out the door and say, have a nice day. So what our unit does is take the work that was done with the initial treatment plan. We build a plan around the kid to address all those risk and need elements that are there, and how we're going to support that kid in the community. Medical needs, mental health counseling needs, substance abuse needs. If they've gone through intensive substance abuse here, it just makes sense that they need some type of support system there.
Blocker's team coordinates with partners in Anchorage like the school district and the Mental Health Trust, and tries to check in on everyone who went through treatment so that they don't leave 24-hour-a-day structure and enter a total vacuum. They try to give young people the support they need to keep them out of the statistics. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.